right, we return. I am, again, your host and book ambassador, Zachary Benjamin Wolf, here with Celia Ransom to read from Poetry Plain and Simple. Celia, you're breaking my heart. Take it away.
My first poem is for my husband, Jack. Many of you, some of you, have heard this several times, but here we go again. It's called "That's Why I Stayed." Young I was, unsure of who or what I wanted to be. I had places to go and things to see. Completely ambivalent was I about my life, with no intention then of being a wife. You are young and handsome, that's for sure. Instinctively, I knew your love would endure. A few other beaux came my way, but I was not by them at all swayed, 'cause there you were with that twinkle in your eye. 'Twas there for me alone to spy, and with it and your sweet grin displayed, you made me laugh, that's why I stayed. There were other things that could be weighed, but always with you the music played. So here we are, 6 decades together, and there have been storms that we have weathered. But that choice was right so long ago made, a love destined to flourish, ne'er to fade. For you still make me laugh, that's why I've stayed. And for our military and their families, Taps. He came home to us last night from that war, that far-off fight. He left a Marine early in the fall, fresh-faced, young and tall. In spring, they brought his body home. Thankfully, he was not alone. An honor guard accompanied him with stuttered step, uniformed and trim. Seeing him encased in coffin steel, mournfully, nothing was left to feel. At gravesite, prayers so softly spoken, sincere, a sorrow-filled, loving token. And from a grateful nation, a trifold flag extended, even though our hearts were not yet mended. Rifles were fired in final salute for our little boy, so brave, so resolute. And in this resting place, he was not alone, for there were other comrades who had come home. Then an earthly quiet did reign, complete with finality and, oh, such pain. God help us. In this stillness, the hymn played far too oft of late for our child and those who had met a similar fate. We heard Taps. 'Twas ended. God bless. Amen. Geriatric. Geriatric. Does that term apply to me? I did not think that it could ever be. But of late, with no more color in my hair, I think I have to give up and declare that possibly others' perception of me includes thoughts of frailty and or senility. And with my current white-headed block, I hear sweetie and dearie, an answer that is stock. Oh, woe, I've passed the stage that used to be ma'am, and suddenly I no longer recognize who I am. The man on the grate for the homeless people that we all see. I saw this in Washington, D.C. I saw him homeless, resting on a steamy grate. What brought him there? Was it just fate? I gave him all the money that I had. Not nearly enough, for his situation was bad. Wrapped he was in a blanket, tattered and worn, shoes with soles ripped and torn, no impediment against terrific cold, in a terrible environment uncontrolled. That image did not leave my mind, and the next day I went to find a warm coat, hat, and boots fleece lined. I found him there in that same iron place, steamy vapors surrounding his face. Cocooned he was in his remnant, face etched, body spent. And although something he had not sought, to him I presented the clothing I had brought. And as I shook him to awake, I realized sadly I was too late. And a little whimsy, panties. I wear granny panties because I should. But if I were younger, I know I would wear those lovely lacy undies, oh so skimpy, Victoria's Secret pretty. I'd not be wimpy, and I would go confidently about my day, grinning, knowing underneath I was doing it my way. Okay, I have more, but whatever.
Thank you, Celia. Now, it seems that a lot of, certainly not all of, but a lot of your poetry has some heavy emotion that goes with it. Are these things that are all life experiences that you've had, or?
I have had a lot of life experiences, and yes, some of them are, not all. I read things, I see things on the news, and sometimes it prompts a poem, and sometimes I write it down and I think I should tear this up, but yes, because I've lived a long time, so I've had a lot of things happen in my life, good things and bad things, mostly good. It started out bad, but now it's good.
How long in the making was this book of poetry? How old are some of these?
Well, I never wrote until probably 2005. I never wrote a thing until 2005. And my mother was probably 92 at that time, and she was in a nursing home, and I was traveling back and forth to take care of her because she was in Traverse City. I was down here. And I was all by myself a lot of that time, and that's how I started writing. And I started thinking about my past. I had actually, I shouldn't say, I had written a poem maybe 40 years ago, and I found it in a desk, and I thought, this is not too bad, and because my grandfather was a great storyteller, and I think mainly that's what I do. I tell stories. And he told me a story about, he was in the ice cream business, so he would tell me the story about planting ice cream seeds, and the trees would grow, and cones of different flavors would come off this tree. So I'd written that poem several years ago, many, many years now, I thought, I don't even know how it started, but I was all by myself on this journey, taking care of my mother, and usually when people go into a nursing home, they're there maybe 2 years. She was there 6 years. So I was back and forth for 6 years, and I was writing. And I have grandkids, and I think the first things I started writing were little poems for them because they would do funny things, and I thought I would just write a little poem. So I have several children's poems as well. And that's kind of how it all evolved. I don't know. So, and I've been writing and writing, and now I'm writing some short stories as well. I hope to make that a little avenue. So,
all right. So, got some things to look forward to. Are you still jotting down poetry when it comes to mind?
Absolutely. I carry a pad of paper with me all the time. I can even As Barry will tell you, I even write during lectures that other people are giving, because something will come, I'll get it down, but it's okay.
Well, you have to be ready at any time for inspiration to strike.
Yes.
Do your poetry, the ones in this book anyway, did they go through many editing stages, or was it kind of the way it was when it came out?
I did some editing, but I had a good friend who read through. I actually started before being with Grey Wolf. I was going to self-publish, and I had someone who was helping me. I did not like that avenue because my time is. I don't have much time. So, but I had a friend who read through all the poetry, and she made notations, and I dutifully looked at everything. But most, by the time I finish it up, it's probably set. I do my own editing pretty much. So.
Okay, so when you're doing your own editing, do you find that you do multiple stages, or is it like one or two generally? Completely varies from poem to poem?
It varies from poem to poem, I would say. Many of the poems come out very easily, and some I have to work at. Mm. But most of them come out easily. I don't know why. Don't ask. I've always, and most everything I write is in rhyme, and I've always had that in my head, and I thought everybody had that in their head all the time. And I don't know where that's from.
Do you come up with titles first, or story for poems first, and then
usually
titles?
Usually the poem first, and then the title.
Okay. Have you had any strike you where you've come up with the title first as a concept and then written anything around it that comes to mind?
Maybe one that I can think of, and it's in my book, and I won't read that. It's called My Daddy. And it's about a little girl talking about her father. And it came from a newspaper article that I read about a soldier who came home from the war and he had lost both arms. And all I could think of was, how is he going to hug his children? And that poem repeats My Daddy pretty much through the whole poem, and that's the title of the poem. Does that help?
You look like you've got something brimming on your mind. What do you...
was about my childhood, and yes, I was taking care of my mother who had abandoned me, I was writing about my life as a kid, and so yes, it was a catharsis. It was.
You're not making these things up. This, you're writing about your life and the people around you who are involved in your life.
For the most part, yes. Although sometimes I'm inspired by something I've seen or read. As I stated with the man on the grate, I thought, I saw that man on one of those steam grates, I don't know, because the steam comes up, and I was in Washington, D.C., and here's this man lying there on this grate trying to get warm, and that became the poem. There's a little poetic license in there, but I thought, here we are in the nation's capital, and this man is lying on this grate to stay warm. What does that say? Oh, okay.
Do you find that there are any settings or locations that inspire you more than others, since you write in so many places?
I'm going to answer that. I'm going in the back door with that. I always wanted, you know, many poets write about nature. I can't do that very well. I don't know why. I should be able to. I've written maybe 3 poems that, like the Trillium going up 115 when we go to Traverse City in the spring. It is glorious. I actually wrote a poem about that. And then when I sit on the deck of my cottage and I look out at the woods and I'm in this beautiful setting, I've written 1 poem about that. And you'd think I could, because there I am, you would think I would be able to embrace it all and write about it. It always sounds forced when I try. So if it comes, God bless,
so
I don't know.
You're more interested in, would you say, the human experience and condition, other people around you more so than the natural world, as it were?
I guess. I think that's true.
Well, there's no shame in that whatsoever.
Well, thanks.
Does anyone else have any questions?
Yes.
What did you teach?
Children.
So, grade school, like?
Teenagers.
Was it English or?
No.
It was
Espanol.
The question was what she teaches.
What did you ask?
Espanol. What she taught?
She asked, yes.
Because I was a French teacher.
Oh, okay. No. That's why this is such, you know, a deviation of what I did. And who would think that this would, I don't know where this, it just started from when I was taking care of my mom. And
and you were already retired from teaching?
Well, my husband had a stroke 20 years prior. That's why I retired. I'd probably still be there.
Have you written
I loved
any
it. Really
poems in Spanish?
No. a little bit where I insert maybe a word or something, but no, I have not.
Would you mind giving us maybe a little summary preview of some of your upcoming short stories? What can we expect to see next?
Well, again, you talked about the human condition. I have a friend whose husband passed away, and she has a new love in her life. So I wrote about that. And they sort of had a commitment ceremony, and I told her, I said, I'm writing this. And so I read it to her, and I said, do you want it? She said, oh, yes. And she said, I tried to read it at the party, and she said, I got halfway through and I cried and I couldn't finish it. So that's the human condition, because I was so happy that she had found someone in her life again, because she had a great love. Mm. And then I've written stories about my 2 grandkids. I gave Diana a poem for the book, but the Write to Wolf book. I'm writing a cat story. I'm currently trying to pull together a story about Miss Celia driving.
Yes.
Can I ask, dear author, is that a take on Driving Miss Daisy?
No. No, it is not.
Yes.
You know, some, yes. Let me give you a little background. I lived in a small town, but we had great teachers. I had great English teachers. And I can remember still Mrs. Pinney. Oh, I'm standing up.
No, it's fine. Go
okay.
ahead.
I can remember Mrs. Pinney standing up and going, in abril in the shura sutta. you know, and she would do that whole thing, and I didn't understand a bit, but I loved the performance. So, and I had wonderful English teachers. I do like Langston Hughes a lot. I read Langston Hughes when I get down. I sometimes go to Langston Hughes. He's probably my favorite. I don't know why. And I try to write in that genre a little bit, but I'm not very good at that either. And I'm trying to think of someone else now. I read a little, you know, a little Robert Frost. When I was doing my Spanish studies, we did Neruda and so on, but I really don't have time to read very anymore.
Is there a particular poetry author that you think really has influenced your own writing that you take from?
No? I would just say no.
Very original.
No.
Great.
I have nobody.
Great.
I must say that when I was a kid and, you know, we sang a lot. When I was growing up, we sang in school, and I was, you know, very taken with Moon and June and all of that. So the rhyming again is there, but and they were lyrics and they were poems actually.
Yeah.
So there was that, and I used to do a lot of recitation when I was a kid in church of poems for Children's Day. There was, and I always look forward to it, so. But I stood up then.
Were you heavily involved with your book's cover design, or?
Maybe Diana should tell that story, I don't know. She presented several covers for me.
16.
16 cover options.
That's what she says. That's what she says, and we finally decided on this. And you know, it's interesting because the word in Spanish for pansy is pensamiento. And pensamiento in Spanish means a thought. And when I saw this, I thought, pensamientos, thoughts. Hey.
Wow, that's quite poetic. any other questions from the audience or comments? All right, thank you very much, Celia. Sounded awesome. We look forward to more of your work.
I do too.